Tuesday, December 2nd, 2008 edition of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski, and I'll be here for the next hour. And before I introduce my guests, let me present a few program notes. First of all, I am going to do only an hour this week to kind of ease back into it. For those of you who listen to my show, you know I've been off the air for a while. And then next week, I'll get back to the two-hour show that I normally do. I also want to thank Tom Fress for sitting in for me for an extended period of time. He did an admirable job of keeping the torch lit to warn people and to tell people about the Vatican-led New World Order, a discussion that we have on the show almost daily. And I want to thank him for that. Tom, hopefully, is listening and will do the second hour if he chooses. If not, we'll play something else. But if you do, Tom, Skype in. Right at the break, at the end of the first hour, and then we can continue this week in that manner if you so choose. If not, let me know, and we can make other arrangements. So, back on the air after a long period of time, seems rather, it's not strange at all. It's just like back home again, just in a different location. And let me tell you this, since I was off, much has happened in many, many different sectors, including the financial, the political, the religious sector, for the good or for the bad, that's up to you to decide. However, as I always say, there is a solution, and that solution is to find Christ. And if you can do that, I think you've got a better chance of understanding really what is going on in the world today. As we talk about this on this show, we talk about it in plain, simple English, and that is get your acts together. You got to do that. You got to find yourself in more than just the political and the scientific and all those things that take up our day. You've got to find some kind of religious stability. And when I say that, I mean you must find something that more than what this world has to offer. Because if you rely on that, folks, I'll tell you what, there is no solution. And maybe some time off the radio has helped me to even bolster those ideas and to help you maybe together to get to that one great place that we're all headed to. In the meantime, we got to deal with these villains somehow, some way on earth, and Christ said to do that. He said, don't be afraid to talk about them, and talk about them in terms that you can understand. My guests today, hopefully they're going to be on. I haven't been notified yet, but I wanted to bring on some parents of the Alamo ministry who have had their children stolen by the state. And when I say that, I mean that literally. The actions that took place on September 20th were similar to Waco and similar to all of these Jesuit-led attacks on Christian believers. And the guests are on. So let me introduce them quickly. Let me just give you a background on this story. And I got a little bit of feedback, so maybe we can turn my Skype down just a little bit in the studio. I'll just get away from the mic a little bit. But anyway, I've had Pastor Tony Alamo on my show many times. I've got to know him over the years. And I remember when they first started attacking him in the 90s, and then and basically saying that, well, here's how it went. They wanted to destroy his ministry, and they used the FBI to do that. And it just so happens God intervened. And one of the FBI agents, after being told to bring down Mr. Alamo in any possible way, began to tell the truth about Tony Alamo, saying he could find nothing on him, and the authorities still were not satisfied, and charged him with a bogus tax conviction, and he spent 4 years in the slammer. Well, since then, John Peeler has come on my show to tell the truth about what he learned, about how he's been persecuted by the FBI for telling the truth. And that lays credence to what I'm about to say. Tony Alamo has always been one of their targets because of his openness regarding the Bible and his openness regarding regarding talking about the Vatican led New World Order. So, after he spent his time in jail, he went back to his ministry. And just recently, in September, I believe it was on September 20th, the Arkansas State Police and federal agents raided Alamo's camp, raided his ministry at Frock, Arkansas. And right now, there are a number of children in custody, and the parents of these children are going to talk about this. Now, Tony, since then, has been charged with 8 to 10 federal indictments in violations of the Mann Act. And if you don't know what that is, it's a federal law that bans carrying women or girls across state lines for prostitution or debauchery. Now, Tony's denied the charges. Many of his followers have come to his rescue. But since then, he's been held without bail, and sometimes in deplorable conditions, folks. I mean, deplorable conditions. A coffin-like cell. This man's been held. His attorney objected and then was removed. He has not been, in the beginning, he was not allowed to talk with people, which was another violation of his rights. Since then, he's been able to communicate with some of his friends at the ministry. But anyway, throughout it all, Tony stands strong, and I've tried to get an interview with him, and that's been, that's led me down a dead-end road, and the reason is I imagine the authorities don't want him speaking public, especially on the radio, although he spoke many times with me. And along with John Peeler, the FBI agent who in the 90s was hired by them, by Clinton and the boys in Arkansas to bring Mr. Alamo down, I believe that these charges are unfounded. I believe it's a persecution on a man who has tried to do good for many people. And I want to hear the side of the story from the parents who have lost their children. It's a story of sadness when you think about it. It's a story showing how the state has basically stepped into our lives, and just as you heard on the news, they want to control not only people who speak about the Bible, but what they say about it. And are we going to stand for that, America? I don't think we should. And I think we should stand strong and get to the truth behind Tony Alamo, and get to the truth behind what the federal government is still doing to him. And I believe if you look at some of my archives and listen to John Peeler, an ex-FBI agent who has been persecuted since he came forward to tell the truth about how he was told to frame Mr. Alamo in any way or any way, shape, or form in the 90s, do you think it changed today? Hell no. It did not change, and they're doing the same thing today. So on September 20th, they raid his compound. 5 days later, they arrest Tony, and he's still sitting behind bars without bail, and they claim he's a flight risk. With that, let me talk to some of the parents. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing, Greg?
Good. And you know what? You might want to introduce yourself and tell me what is going on, and tell us the whole story behind these poor kids. I think they've seized 26 children. Tell us what's going on over there, please. Go ahead.
I'd love to tell you the story. And my name is Deborah Andrasek, and I'm the mother of Angela Andrasek, one of the six girls that were taken on September 20th. And I'm also the mother of Isaac Andrasek, a 13-year-old boy that was taken on November 18th in the second raid that they had. And what it is, I'd like to start out by saying that what it is, it's a government attempt to destroy Tony Alamo Christian Ministries and to put a stop to Tony Alamo preaching the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as it is. It's an attack on religious freedom in America, and they want to silence our pastor. That's really bottom line what it is. And
okay.
May I just go ahead and give you my story?
You may. Go right ahead. You have all the time. We've got this whole hour, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, as you know, it was September 20th, and when they had the raid, and they came onto the property where Pastor Alamo
That's how they came onto the property. I mean, it wasn't as if that one guy in a suit came up and said, please, would you open the door? How did they attempt to, how did they enter the property?
What they did was they had like a militaristic style raid. They had over 100 police cars. There were helicopters, snipers. There were men armed with machine guns. They had bulletproof vests and riot gear. And this was all to kidnap six girls while they were searching for evidence against our pastor. You know, mm-hmm. That's our tax dollars at work, you know, great job. Now, the machine guns that had the lasers were actually pointed at my two daughters. My 20-year-old daughter was also there. We actually live in Texarkana, Arkansas, which is about 15 miles from Falk. Angela had been visiting her older sister that was in Falk that afternoon when the raid occurred. And one of the children that were taken in this raid, one of the six girls, had just returned from visiting some senior folks in a nursing home. The raid itself was so traumatizing to all the children in our church. I mean, children who were always safe and secure in their Christian homes started having terrible nightmares. When they'd hear a siren or they'd see a person in uniform, they would get absolutely hysterical. Some of the children wouldn't let their mothers out of their sight for fear of being kidnapped. One 12-year-old boy actually started losing his mind due to the terror that he had of being abducted from his parents. There was a little happy-go-lucky 7-year-old girl that became physically sick, throwing up for a couple of days, and she was so depressed and in such despair that she would be taken from her family. And two of the six girls who were taken were so tormented and depressed after they were put in foster care that they stated that if they were not Christians, they would commit suicide. And this is horrible.
You can continue, but just tell me. Now, the state has put out their stories, and I've read them. They're on the Associated Press wire and things like that. But it doesn't appear that they've ever really tried to attempt to interview your side of the story. Is that true?
That's true. And they didn't even call myself or my husband in court. Actually, her lawyer never called us to testify because we could have dispelled a lot of these lies. See, one of the witnesses against us is, what it is the government has, they've paid and they've coerced many witnesses to come forward and testify against Pastor Alamo. Remember, this is an attack on our freedom of religion, and specifically on this particular church, because our pastor preaches the whole Bible, the full, you know, Genesis to Revelation. And people just don't want to hear it. The government has spent just millions of dollars to get everybody into the mindset that homosexuality is okay, and, you know, all the different things that are wrong according to the Bible are okay. And here we have Pastor Alamo preaching what the Word of God actually says about these things and how they're wrong and how the Lord condemns these sins, condemns people to hell for committing these sins. And they want to silence his voice. But what happened is, I've got he's 18 years old now, but he was 17 years old when he left the ministry. And what it is he wanted to marry one of the girls in this ministry that was underage. And
now, who
ministry,
is he now? That's your son?
That was my son.
Okay.
And we do not allow underage marriages in this ministry. We go with the law of the land, which is, you know, right now I believe it's 17 or 18 years old to be married in the state of Arkansas. And he knew that he couldn't marry this girl unless he left the ministries and did it somewhere else. I spoke to Spencer. His name's Spencer. I spoke to him a few days before he left the ministry, and he told me that he wanted to leave the ministry and go get this girl who had left about a month before and marry her, and then he wanted to bring his children back in a year or two, or, you know, whenever he would have the children. He wanted to come back in a couple of years and raise his children here. He had no intentions of going out of this ministry and bringing the horrible lies that he eventually was coerced and offered money, bribed by the FBI, to do. And he went out and he started, we do believe, our ministry does believe in spanking children. And it's in the Bible. And we, you know, in Arkansas, it's corporal punishment is something that the Arkansas schools all partake in.
Yeah, back in the old days in Chicago, my dad believed in spanking too, so I can testify to that, and it didn't, and I probably deserved it. So go ahead.
Okay, well, my son was 17 years old, and he received, in those 17 years, he received a total of 3 spankings, and the spankings themselves.
I'll tell you that when I was a kid. Go ahead.
Well,
I'm just.
Yeah, I mean.
Times have changed. I mean, when they want to do something here, they've done it. And I mean, that's the. Go ahead. I want to get to the real story behind what goes on. I think people want to know what goes on behind the ministry doors. 26 children were taken away, some of yours, and I want you to tell us the truth behind what goes on there. Go ahead.
Well, this is a very important point because they're saying that there was child abuse here, and that's one of the things that they're blaming. You know, that's one of the allegations they're saying, and that's why they've taken away these 26 children. But what it is after Spencer left, he was 17. He was 2 months short of his 18th birthday. He went to Spokane, Washington, to one of his brothers that lives up there. And when he got up there, he ended up, it took him a while, but he got a job at McDonald's. You know, they don't pay very much money. And he was contacted by Randall Harris with the FBI, and I believe also by the Arkansas Department of Human Services, because I was at the depositions, some of the depositions that the Department of Human Services did down in Little Rock to testify against us in this particular case. And what that name, Randall Harris, kept coming up. The FBI is the one who contacted these witnesses that were being paid by the government to testify against Pastor Alamo and to testify in this case. And also the Department of Human Services and specific people.
Yes, may I interrupt and ask a question? Has anybody come forward on the side these supposed government witnesses and actually stated that, or is there does the attorney have solid information that there was money transferred?
Well, they said this on the depositions. The government witnesses were saying that it was Randall Harris of the FBI. And also that they were contacted by, I don't have the names with me right at the moment, but people in the Department of Human Services. So it was a joint effort with these organizations.
So there's on the record that there's been bribes going on to provide false testimony against Pastor Alamo and the ministry.
That's true. And not only bribes, but there's much coercion. They're forcing people. They're threatening people to come forward and testify against Pastor Alamo because they want to stop his ministry. As you know, Greg. And at any rate, Spencer went to Washington, and he was given the bribes. He was forced. This young man. Okay, first of all, I want you to know that he's 6'2". He weighs 200 pounds. He is the strongest young man in the church. And he bragged about to his friends after he had gotten the spankings. He bragged to his friends about how the man that did it, who was in his 40s. He's an older man, and he was very weak. He had a lot of weaknesses about him. He bragged about how the man was sloppy, how it didn't hurt, and here you go. After all this, now he's saying that he was damaged, but he's got some kind of damage in his wrist and all this damages that he's accusing our pastor of causing and so on and so forth, and. In reality, there is no damage to him whatsoever. He's as I said, he was one of the strongest people in this ministry. And just mocking the man that had done this, I mean, that's what he had, that's how he portrayed himself to his friends. Mm-hmm. And even after Spencer, he received his second spanking when he was, I think, 14 years old. At that time, what it was is he was spraying this caustic acid. He and another one of the boys in the ministry were carrying on. And he sprayed this caustic acid in the eyes of this other boy. And that was the reason that he received that particular spanking. And there was damage done to that other boy, not to Spencer. But I just wanted to give you the situation here with this boy. So you understand how he and other people in the ministries that have left the ministry are out there and bringing the false accusations, the allegations, and what it's really all about.
Right. So in this particular, can you state categorically that although the government is stating child abuse, now besides the spankings, is there any abuse in your, have you seen any abuse beyond that that would warrant the government to charge Tony Alamo?
There's no abuse whatsoever in this ministry, and that wasn't abuse either. That's corporal punishment. I mean, if somebody could sue for getting corporal punishment, then any child in any school in Arkansas or any state in the union could sue and get money for that.
Yeah, exactly. And the point I was trying to make is beyond the spankings, which in my estimation don't qualify as abuse when done in that manner. I asked, was there any other child abuse that you ever seen? How many years have you been there, and how have your children been treated? They've been taken away. They're still been taken away, or are they back with you?
No, they're still taken away. And in this ministry, I've been with the ministry, it'll be 39 years in February. And in all my 39 years, I've never seen any child abuse whatsoever. Never. Any kind of child abuse. Never anything, never any children forced to fast, any beatings, as they're saying, nothing like that. There's none of that thing goes on here. And
it's surprising to me, not surprising, but I hope people out there are listening, those who remain skeptics and those who don't. But just think about it in these terms. The way this story's been portrayed in the media, any logical journalist would look and say, why aren't these people, why isn't their testimony being put in the newspaper for people to read? Why is it just a one-sided story? And that shows you exactly another piece of evidence that's mounting, showing you that these allegations are geared towards not only destroying the ministry, but destroying the ministry in the eyes of Americans. Don't you agree?
Yes, I do. And, you know, they're trying to take away our freedom of religion and destroy our pastor and our ministry. And what will they do to everybody else's when if they should accomplish their task that they're doing here?
All right, we got another half hour, and we're going to go into a break, but we have a few minutes here. When we hear the music, I'll cut off, and then we'll come back in a few minutes. But the personal side of this story must be heart-wrenching for you. You've never abused your children. You've loved your children, and now they're just the state comes in and takes them away. What's going? How do you feel right now? What are your attempts in trying to get them back? Do you think you can get them back soon?
I believe that we're going to get our children back. I'm very angry and upset that they've done this. I mean, there's absolutely no reason for taking away any of these children. Even the DHS lawyer, Chuck Thompson, said that there was no abuse found on any of these children. The DHS had to admit that all of our children were healthy and unabused. That's in regards to the 20 children that were taken away on November 24th. They were all examined by a UAMS doctor. Everything was fine with them. And they still took them away, nursing babies away from their mothers. They said that they were medically neglected and that they hadn't received their immunization shot. But that's not, you know, that would certainly be no reason to take children away from their parents.
Well, you know, that discussion, you ought to get a hold of a friend of mine who has an organization called Vaccination Liberation, and they run a newspaper in Idaho called the Idaho Observer, and she can give you mounting evidence that immunizations are harmful, and that it's a parent's right not to immunize children, and there should be no reason for you to take them away. In fact, I never would ever immunize myself or anybody close to me for the fear that I would end up sicker than I would if I didn't take them. So I think it's a parental, looking at it from the truth, if you look at all of the information that this woman has gathered in an organization called Vaccination Liberation, the government has no grounds to ever take your children based on that. Go ahead.
Well, there have been many raids in our church and strip searches of our children, and they've never, ever, in these 40 years, ever found one instance of any kind of child abuse. Nothing.
And it's just another example of the state stepping in and taking over the role of a parent and saying that you're unfit, when in fact it's just completely the opposite. These people are unfit to hold their positions and should be, should all of them categorically, from the prosecutor on down, ought to be fired.
Absolutely.
And that's the way I view it.
Absolutely. You know, the thing is that Pastor Alamo has been in the media. He's been guilty until proven innocent. You know, he has never gone to trial. He's never been able to give his side of the story. He's never gone to had his day in court where he can prove that he's innocent. But they're already saying that he's guilty. That's why they took our children.
Get through that.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com. FlyingEagleGold.com says don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world at a very competitive cost. And Jeffrey takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. You're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. In 1963.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence. On infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. Confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President today.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
Journal, and you're listening to LibertyRadioLive.com, and I've got some of the parents on from Tony Alamo's ministry talking about how their children have been basically stolen by the government in an attempt to silence Pastor Alamo and his ministry. A couple of program notes. I'll be doing 1 hour this week, and then next week I'll be back to the two-hour schedule. And I want to thank Tom Fress for doing the second hour. I'm sure he'll be on right after this. He listens to the show every day. And thanks for sitting in for me. Getting back to this story, your children, where are they right now? And when's the last time you saw them? And what's their mood and their state of mind?
My children right now are in foster care in Arkansas. And I saw both of them last Wednesday. And my son said, I want to come home. My daughter, I want to come home. Can't you do something to get me home? They want to come home. We're doing everything that we can to get them home. My daughter, Angela, before the raid, was a very cheerful 60-year-old. She had graduated from high school a year early. She had her driver's license. She was happy. She was living at our home in Texarkana. And she loved to volunteer to go on cruise to pass out gospel literature, to witness about Jesus in different cities. Now she's in a public high school. They put her in a public high school, even though she graduated, where she says that her classmates are either bisexual, lesbian, or homosexual. And she says that many of them use illegal drugs. She says every other word is profanity. Doesn't anybody talk normal out here? She says she desperately wants to come home. She had never been to any of this, exposed to any of this kind of filth before. And now, according to the DHS, now she's in a normal environment. In our home.
Now, so your statement, what you're saying today, is that being echoed by the other parents there who have had their children taken away?
Oh, yes, it is. For the ones that are old enough, some of them are too young to be in school. But for the ones that are old enough, absolutely. Some of the children have undergone, you know, just really terrible treatment in the homes that they were put in.
And I might add, not one story, one word has come out in the press regarding your side of the story.
Absolutely.
That's been tight-lipped. And, in fact, here's how they operate, just so people know. In the article, it says the Southern Poverty Law Center, which tracks hate groups, describes Tony's ministry as a cult that fails against homosexuals, Roman Catholics, and the government. Now, the point being is that this lays in the mind of Americans that you guys are a hate group, which is totally false. Secondly, that you're a cult, which is totally false. And is there anything wrong with railing and talking against the Roman Catholic Vatican, who is behind all of this, and the government, who has illegally raided and stole your children? I believe that your story needs to be echoed a million times over the Internet, as far and wide as we can. I've seen this happen in Florida and California, other states, in different manners with Protective Child Services working to steal children, taking them away from their parents. And you've been there for 39 years.
Yes,
now,
I have.
Are you a cult and a hate group?
No, absolutely not. Those are media buzzwords to, you know, try to make Christian churches look like they're weird, like there's something dangerous and we have to do away with them.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to point out, Greg, that our daughter now, I want you to realize this, that she's being wined and dined in an attempt to get her to turn from her Christian upbringing and to accept the ways of the non-Christian world. And
mm-hmm.
she's been repeatedly questioned by therapists trained in sexual abuse and other government agencies in an effort to get her to testify falsely against our pastor. She emphatically stated that she's never been abused, but her word doesn't matter in this case. We even have a Christian psychiatrist that she was taken to, and it was paid for by the DHS, and her name's Althea Conley out of El Dorado, Arkansas. She evaluated Angela, and she stated that Angela had never been abused. Of course, the DHS didn't use this testimony, you know, in the adjudication hearing, although they're the ones that hired her.
Right. Let's first talk about Pastor Alamo. Tell us about what his state of mind is right now. When's the last time you spoke to him at the ministry, and how he's been treated since he's been taken into custody on September 25th, I believe. Go ahead.
Well, I know for sure that he was in a jail cell that was like about the size of a stall for a horse or a cow or something. I know that it's very cold in there, and that he has to wear a coat all the time. And I know that there's absolutely no heat in there for whatever reason. I have no idea. I know that he was not allowed to speak to anybody for, I'd say at least a month, and then until it finally came out in the papers. And then they let him have, I think he has visitation maybe for half an hour, you know, maybe 2 days a week with people from our ministry.
Mm-hmm. Right now, are you speaking to him on the telephone or anything?
I was able to speak with him for just a few minutes yesterday. Yes, he does have phone communication. Yes.
Tell him I said hi, okay?
Yes, sure will. Absolutely.
Tell him I'll get him off a few more letters and things. And
okay.
How's his spirits? I know he's a strong guy. How's he holding up, and what's he telling you people?
He's just as strong as ever. There's nothing that's going to make him bend or change. He's just strong in the living God, and he encourages us with his you know, with what messages he's able to get to us. And I'm sure that he knows that he's innocent, and he's looking forward to victory. And we do, too. We know he's innocent, absolutely innocent. We know what this is all about, and I know you do, too. And we're just...
Yeah. What's it like there? Has the ministry changed at all since he's left? I mean, what's going on there on how people have reacted to this?
Well, we're continuing on. You know, they said one of the allegations was that nothing, you know, everything that is ever done is controlled by Tony Alamo, and that he, even down to buying, you know, designating the toilet paper, and none of this is true. He's you know, the ministry continues on without him. It's been established, you know, there's everything that, everything is set up so that if our pastor isn't here, everything just functions the way that it was. Of course, at this point, they've taken away so many of our children, there's not, you know, they've got this nationwide hunt for 100 of our missing children. You know, they'll do nothing to stop their relentless search to get them, and their relentless efforts to try to destroy our pastor. But we're continuing on with, we have great hope that, you know, and belief that our pastor is going to be freed. We know that he's innocent, and we know where this is coming from.
And, you know, we should remind people, as I did at the top of the hour, that this is not the first time that the government has tried to shut down Pastor Alamo and your ministry. The stories surfaced in the 90s. That's when I first got a glimpse of Tony. And from the media, they made him out to be a monster like they're doing today, the same thing. But I happened to look a little bit deeper into the story and found an FBI agent who was told by his superiors to bring down Tony in any way possible, plant guns, find anything. John Peeler has been on my show along with Tony stating this when he said this was the last straw. He left the FBI over this and started telling the truth and said they could do nothing, they could find nothing wrong at your ministry, and so they had to trump up a phony tax charge. And it's interesting, they mention in the bottom of every story about Tony that he was a convicted tax evader and make him out to be, again, a monster, when they don't tell the other side of the story of how they set him up and how they basically had no other way to bring him down, so he spent 4 years in jail over this. So this is nothing new. And John Peeler, this FBI agent, is just another piece of evidence that shows what the government is doing. And any rational person in America, if there's any left that's listening, would say, listen, let's hear this side of the story. How can we just listen to a government informant and then allow children to be taken from their parents who've been treated in a very civil and Christian-like manner? It's just appalling, and I appreciate you coming forward, but doesn't you were there in the 90s when this happened. Tell me what they did back then, just to refresh people's memory.
Oh, when they came up and they raided the Georgia Ridge property in not far from Alma, Arkansas, in Fort Smith, I was there, my husband, and they came up with their guns and their weapons, and they forced everybody to get off the property. I had a little 5-month-old baby, and we all had to, they dispersed the ministries. They took our properties, all of our properties, sold them for pennies on the dollar. It was in winter, it was like February. And we were just put out on the streets with nothing, you know. Yeah. And we had our own, we supported ourselves. We had our own businesses. And, you know, it was just a horrible situation. And, of course, it was all really geared at destroying the ministry, destroying our pastor. And even now, the reason that they took the children is because of Tony. And what they're trying to do is to smokescreen that fact by arresting our pastor and locking him away in jail, silencing him so that the media, you know, they're just going to go wild with their lies. And then once our pastor is shown to be innocent, you know, our children will be free too. But we know that our pastor is innocent. We know that this is a big smoke screen. This whole, while we're very concerned and upset about our children, of course, we know what's going on here. And they're just really using this against our pastor. They'd love to have these children just testify against our pastor and say whatever, you know, just somehow get them into testifying against him. As a matter of fact, the DHS Office of Chief Counsel Attorney, Mary Helen Mitchell, stated that, you know, the FBI had drilled the girls, the six girls that were taken away. And she stated that the girls, they weren't going to call them as witnesses unless they turned over to the other side and started telling the truth. In other words, unless they, you know, started lying for them. So they weren't going to call him because the girls were steadfast, and I mean, they're pure. They'd never been abused, and they stated that over and over again. But they were trying to get them, they were trying to, just harassing these girls and trying to get them to say that they were abused by our pastor.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the story basically has, is going to come to a climax here, hopefully, finding Tony innocent of all charges. But when his next, I believe his court date has been set for February 20th or something. I'm not sure if that's the correct date. Is that going to take place, or is he going to ask for more time to mount a defense?
I believe it's going to take place. I don't know of any further, you know, I don't think anybody's going to be putting it off any further.
I did want to call his attorney, and I've got no response back from him. If you ever get a hold of him, tell him I'd like to maybe try to do a jailhouse interview with Tony, even with Tony, even with his lawyer and the warden president, if they'll allow that.
Oh, that'd be great.
But I can't get his attorney's been busy. So if you do talk to somebody, tell him to give me a call or email me. You have my email there. But we'd like to try to get that done. I haven't been successful yet. Another thing is, let's say, what I was getting at here. Is there any possibility that they'll let, is there any possibility that I'm letting him go on bail?
Well,
from your point
of view? At the detention hearing about, you know, getting bail for him, that's when my son Spencer testified, and they would not give him bail. They
mm-hmm.
made sure that they paid him well to make sure he went in there and said a lot of lies, just nothing but lies about our pastor, so that they would not let him go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
amazing.
Where it stands right now as far as bail.
So, you know, in our last few minutes here, tell us exactly where you guys stand now, what you want to do in the next week or 2 weeks or month to get to help people understand the truth. What are you trying to do right now?
Well, we'd like to get some gospel literature out with different testimonials, you know, just distribute it to the people. That's how we've always done, and get our side of the story out that way, because they certainly don't print it, our side of the story, in the newspapers. And one thing that people can do is go to our website, because everything that we have is put up there on the website. They can find out the latest, what's happening with our ministries, you know.
Yeah, and, let me see if I go there. You got, I know that a couple people have interviewed you, Deanne Burley, I know her, and Tony has a message here regarding what's happened, and people can go and read that at alamoministries.com. And that's the real interesting thing I want to talk about. So they're claiming that you know, when the Southern Poverty Law Center says you're a cult, it automatically puts in people's minds that what you say is going to be skewed based on the fact of over the years. And this, I'm only talking from what people may think when they read this and they have no idea about you. They'll say, oh, they're a cult, which means that the woman speaking now is not speaking from her right mind, but from a mind control situation. Dispel that rumor. You don't sound to me as if you're someone that's been mind controlled, but that's how they operate, to get that into the people's mind so that you basically are not stating anything that a logical person would state. You know, I've talked to many people over there, and I know that's not the truth. You guys are as in your right mind, and then probably saner than a lot of people that are accusing you.
That's right. I'd like to tell you, Greg,
that there's no mind control going on here. It is not a cult.
Absolutely not. And, you know, the people that I've talked to, I've spoken to my daughter's therapist, and she says, what's the deal here? you're all normal. You act, everything is positive that I see with you and your husband, your children. You know what? And so I was able to explain the situation to her, and, you know, a lot of the points that I've explained to you. And I was, and yesterday when I went with one of the other ladies that had her children, three of her boys taken away, we went down to Lone Oak. The man that was there in the room with us, I was able, he says, you're all normal. What's the situation? Your children are, they're not abused. They're wonderful. What's going on here? And I was able to explain to him. Everybody that meets us, even we had an attorney that met with us down in Little Rock, and he goes, where's the sheets? No sheets, you know? You guys are normal. What's the deal here? Everybody that meets us knows that we're perfectly normal. And, I mean, you know, and really getting back to the situation here with my daughter, how they call it normal to put a child, a 16-year-old girl, into, as I explained before, into that horrible situation where they're doing illegal drugs, promiscuity, all the filth and degeneracy. That's normal to them. Well, to us, what's normal is the Bible, the Word of God. And that's what our country was founded on. And that's where the freedom of religion comes in at. And, you know, if they're attacking our freedom of religion, which they are violently, viciously lying about us and our ministry and our pastor, then, you know, they're going to do it to everybody else's church in this country that doesn't go along with the one world church and government. And, you know, all I can say to you, Greg, is you know we're normal. You know that we're just law-abiding citizens, people that believe in keeping the commandments, people that believe in telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, getting the gospel out. That's our goal, to let every, as the Great Commission, to let everybody know about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's coming back to earth again, and that people need to repent of their sins, because, you know, that's what it's all about. Everybody's going to die one day and go to judgment, and that's the point that we want to get across, you know, in our ministry.
Right, and, you know, Tony's never been afraid to talk about the Vatican and other things, which is another reason they have targeted him. I'm convinced of it.
Absolutely.
He is one of the few ministers out there that talks as this, you know, talks as a as the Reformationists talk when the Jesuits back in even the 1500s tried to, basically slaughtered them. And Tony is one of the few that has done that. He's not been afraid to do that, and he's not watered down the Bible message. I believe that if he would have and stayed away from this subject at the Vatican, none of this would have happened. What's your thoughts?
Oh, I agree totally. Absolutely. Anytime that you come against what the One World Government, the Vatican, what they're doing, you know, of course, they're being exposed. Of course, they're going to go after, you know, they don't have a whole lot of enemies. So the ones that they do, they're going to target with the lies and the accusations. And they know that whatever's said in the media, it's going to be believed, because people believe what they see in print. They believe what they see on the news, you know. And it's really what it is a modern-day Inquisition. Absolutely. It's really the same thing. I've thought of that over and over again in these past 2 months, believe me. And also how they're using the World War II Nazi tactics, taking children away from their parents. We don't even know sometimes if we're ever going to see our children again. You know, and then you have to go through the whole black hole process of the Department of Human Services and all their threatenings and all this that can happen, and they can adopt your children out. But really what it is it's the bottom line is it's against our freedom of religion. It's trying to destroy Tony Alamo's ministry. That's what it's all about.
Right, and he's targeted because in this manner, because he is effective. He's talked to millions of people over the years about this. And he's one of the more outspoken and people against the New World Order. And because of your ministry following the words of Christ and living this way, they're attacking you. It isn't as if he was just a lone man out there talking. I doubt if any of this would happen. But together, you guys have mounted a very strong church founded on Christ's belief. And the Vatican wants no part of that, especially when he targets them as the Antichrist, and they know they are. They just don't want anybody else to know that, and for this word to spread, as the Reformationists did back in the Protestant Reformation, when what this country supposedly was founded on, correct?
That's right. And, you know, he's so effective that he's actually cut their congregation in half, you know? And, I'm sorry, what is it?
What's that?
Yeah. The Catholics actually stated that he cut their congregation in half. And, we're, you know, of course they're going to go after the ones that are the effective ones. The ones that don't speak up and don't say anything, that's no problem, you know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I know pastors, Protestant pastors today that basically are spreading the Vatican message in just a lukewarm fashion, making people believe the Bible, their Bible that's been rewritten by them, is the true Bible. So all the heat's being taken off Rome, and that's exactly what they want. I think it's when people start really uncovering or peeling apart this onion, they will understand what you're going through. And I just want you to know that my prayers and the prayers of people that listen to this show are with you guys. And hopefully together we can at least mount some awareness so that Pastor Alamo in this position will get a fair trial. And hopefully they'll drop these charges, which I believe if it goes to trial and you guys testify, the government, especially with that deposition testimony that they've been bribed, any law might, you know, hopefully the jury isn't so brainwashed that they will convict him based on media reports. But we will just say prayers, and I think we're just about out of time. Any last words that you want to say to any listeners out here?
Well, I'd like to encourage everybody just to go to our website where they can get, you know, any information about this. If there's any way that they want to just spread the word, let people know what's going on, you know, maybe there's people they can contact that can help us in any way possible. What we're going to do is we're going to be getting out the literature. We're going to be getting out the message as far and wide as we can so that people will know what's going on here. Everybody really needs to join in this fight, because it's really to silence not only our pastor, but it's to silence the freedom of religion in this country.
Right. And then to paint you guys out as the villains when the actual villains are the ones persecuting you.
That's right.
Well, listen, thanks a lot for being on the show, okay?
Well, thank
and,
you.
We will do this again, and I just want to thank you again for being on the show.
We appreciate your prayers, Greg.
Okay. And that was right from the Alamo Ministry, and we've only got a minute or two. And I might add, Tony has a message on his website, and you can go read that. And he's telling you basically what they're trying to do to him. I think if you look at his story from the beginning, and even if you start back in the 90s when they tried to bring his ministry down back then, you will see that it's a continual attempt to silence people like him from pinning the tail on the Vatican donkey, so to speak, and to basically villainize them and put them in a position where the American people will think they are a cult. I believe it's false. I believe Alamo will be vindicated.